start our workshop this morning, and for anyone listening on the tape, our workshops are a more laid-back meeting than many of our other meetings, and we are going to start with Snowball. Explain it, Frank.
What this is an activity that we often use. We've done it with principals. I've used it with teachers, and it can be used a couple of different ways, but one of the common uses for it is when you have a topic. Well, one of the common uses is if you have a topic for discussion that is...
For what? I missed the...
Oh, you're going to use this piece of paper.
Okay.
We're going to do an activity with it right now.
Okay.
Now, this type of activity often is used if you have to discuss a topic that is potentially difficult. You know, people are going to have some emotion attached to it. So what you do is you present the topic, and then people have some time to write their thoughts down anonymously. They don't sign it. Then you crumple it up, and you throw it across the room. And then everyone picks up the piece of paper that's closest to them, and you throw it again. And you do that about 3 or 4 times. Then you pick up a piece of paper, and now everyone has a comment that was written by someone, but because it's been thrown enough times, no one knows who wrote it. So then you go through and you're able to read the comments, share them with the group, and it promotes a safe group discussion. Yes.
You're going to use this piece of paper.
Because we all have some of it.
Honey, you
want to print.
Honey, you have a half sheet of paper.
I understand. I know.
Okay,
that's
okay.
So the topic today is, you can also do this as a little bit more of a positive, fun thing. So
what
we want you to do is on your paper, you're going to write a challenge, something challenging that happened over the summer. Something challenging that you worked through. You're not going to put your name on it, but then we're going to throw these and then pick them out. We're all going to go around and read them, and then we're going to try to guess who wrote it. So as we get it, you know, we're going to read it and then say, oh, that sounds like, I think that was Jeff.
Good.
You know, he was the one whose cat ran away or whatever.
Question.
Yes.
When, an issue that we dealt with in terms of...
Anything.
Does not have to be board related.
But it's one sentence.
Did I get a paper?
Not a run-on.
Did you get a piece of paper?
Can we use crayons or something so we know?
I have more paper. Did you get one, Stacy? Yeah. Okay.
So something that was a challenge that you worked out with this summer.
You don't have any challenges?
We had I had a principal once who said that two of us remembered that our faculty was so small that anything we wrote would be recognized. So be careful what we said about him.
Well,
and I go, oh, that sounds more like a... This sounds fun.
Well, and that's one of the challenges in our is if you talk about cutting it down. Okay, everybody ready to throw?
No. I'm trying to text Stuart an insurance card.
Okay.
We're supposed to sign it or just print our name?
No.
Don't put your name at all.
Stacy's not quite. All right, everybody.
So you're gonna throw it. You pick it up and throw it again. Everybody throw something 4 times. Okay, so that should be good. So now you can take, you should only have one. I just throw them all at once.
I'll do that.
Do you need one, Anne?
I have one.
Oh, okay.
So we have
one there. Okay, so now you open the one that you got. If it was yours, that's okay.
Don't tell anybody.
Still going to read it out loud. Wow.
Okay,
why don't we start with you, Ann?
Sickness in my family.
Well, I've got to be on the same line.
So, now what do you do with this?
Do we read them all
why don't we
first?
Let's read them all first, and then we'll see where we go.
Medical issues.
Nephew had a fast-growing tumor on his brainstem.
A doe and her fawn have taken over my vegetable garden.
Working with Jeff.
I thought you said it ended. Thank you.
Okay, discussing politics with my parents.
Get three of
you. Watching people self-destruct.
All right. Could you begin a, what is the biggest challenge for the summer? And get through the mid-snowball. So, now what do we do?
Now we're going to see if we can guess who wrote which one.
There are some hard things out there.
Yeah.
Okay, who thinks?
You
sickness? Why don't you guess first?
Sickness in my family. Well, I saw Stacy writing this direction. So I think it was Stacy. It wasn't. Oh, I know which one she wrote.
We haven't said who it is yet, right? Okay, go ahead.
What do you think?
Medical issues. I'll say it.
Me? Nope. Oh, mine says a nephew had a fast-growing tumor on his brainstem, and I would say that is Anne.
No, thank goodness.
A doe and her fawn have taken over my vegetable garden. I'm going to say Anne.
I'm so glad a doe and a fawn have taken over my vegetable garden after.
I could say the same thing. Working with Jeff. I'll say Frank.
What does yours say?
I think it's Stacy.
Working with Jeff.
This is, you missed it?
No, she no. Did. He gave
it. Why, Vance? Okay.
Okay, so.
What does yours say?
Okay, go back.
Working with Jeff. And I said Frank, so.
I think you have your own.
Okay, discussing politics with my parents. I'm going to say Jeff.
Nope.
That could be
I'll say it's Frank. Yeah, I'll say it's Frank.
Watching people self-destruct. I'm going to go with Connie on that one.
Oh.
The penmanship.
The red pen.
The red pen. So who else? Well, mine was the discussing politics with my parents.
And that was going to be my second.
There are other things. I mean, yeah, the whole being homeless and not having a house is stressful. But you know that'll end. Discussing politics with my parents, especially when they're moving in with us. I've got to find something else to interest my father.
We decided to, it was a non-discussion.
It's not good.
Because, yeah, it's yeah, but. And there's nobody listening.
Yeah, it's really hard when you don't agree about
it. And it's really hard, like, when you think one behavior is outrageous, and yet a simple behavior that is so innocuous,
Well, it's hard because they're the people that, I mean, you love and respect and admire for all these reasons, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, how did you go crazy between the time when I moved out and now? And I know they didn't really, but it's like, oh, gosh.
Okay, Lisa, which one's yours?
The medical issues.
Just the medical issues is yours?
Yes. The steward all summer long.
Which holds up his ankle. Moving forward in life.
Yep. And his not basically being totally bored out of his mind all summer because he can't do anything.
That would be fun. Do we want to say what ours were?
We're going to round. Okay. Stacy, yours has already been disclosed.
Yes.
Working with Jeff.
It's really not a challenge. I couldn't think of anything.
Hey, Jeff, what is yours?
I'm going to be paranoid going forward.
Is it your own?
No, mine was...
did it just say you?
It was actually just last week. Came home from scout camp on Saturday, and it had some numbness in his arm and leg, but didn't tell his parents. He's passing the sacrament on Sunday.
Well, no.
It was his arm and his leg. He had some numbness. And his leader came to his mom and said, he's kind of walking funny. And then when he went to class, they said, he's kind of rolling his eyes. So they got him in on Tuesday, and they found that he had a tumor on his brainstem with the x-rays, and they needed to do an MRI, but the MRI machine didn't work. And so they couldn't, they said they were going to do the MRI on Tuesday night, and he would go in for surgery on Wednesday. By Wednesday, he could not walk or talk or move any of his muscles. And so, you know, we had a fast. They said that Thursday they were going to do the MRI, and they did the MRI. Actually, I think they still wasn't working, but I think they did the MRI Friday morning, and then they did the surgery Friday. But so the family fasted on Friday. And they got in there. They got it all. They said it was an easy place to get it and everything. And so now
And was it cancerous?
No, it was benign.
Oh, wow. Yes.
But now they found that, I guess, they didn't look at the MRI as closely as they should have, and there was another little part of the tumor that they didn't get any of, and they got almost all of that. They said there was just a few little pieces that they thought would just die. But so he's moving his eyes, and he's, you know, starting to move his fingers and stuff, but they said he's going to have to relearn walking and talking, all of that. But under the circumstances, they said it, you know, as far as the surgery and where it was located and everything else, it was the best possible outcome.
How old
was 13 or 12.
That helps thing, yeah.
So, but it was just one of those things where it's just, you know, one day and they tell us, and it just blew us away because, you know, he went in, I mean, they didn't know anything until Sunday. They finally got into the doctor on Tuesday, and by Wednesday, he couldn't move and he couldn't talk. I mean, so, yeah, we kind of went through a panic with the family for. And we're feeling good now. We're still fasting, praying for him, but that everything will be okay with this other tumor that they found. And, but they think it'll be okay because of where it's at. But it's just, I don't know, scary stuff sometimes just hits you over the head.
So, Connie, that was yours. Connie, which one was yours?
That one. That right guy.
Watching people self-destruct.
And we won't make you go through that.
Well, but just briefly, it is really hard. It's all medical, you know, with going out and seeing my sister. And it took me 3 weeks after being home to stop being angry, to watch someone at 400 pounds, diabetic, and know that all of the problems that she has are because she didn't and doesn't do what she's supposed to for being a diabetic. So I see her legs, well, eventually she's on dialysis, they'll either be amputated, and I watch her lie to, you know, you watch people be delusional and lie to themselves, and then you think, you know what, it's been this way forever, I can't change it. But my thoughts were so unchristian. Seriously, I had to just almost come home and forgive her, mm-hmm. and forgive myself, because you think that what should I, there's nothing I could do.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Nothing. So anyhow,
Christy, we're gonna go to Lynn, and then you get to share about what your biggest challenge in the summer. Lynn.
Well, mine was the sickness in family. It's been the entire summer and still ongoing, mostly with Jeanette and I's mothers. Jeanette had two operations in the month of July, so we were talking just the other night, and I said, where's the summer gone? She says, in hospitals, and that's just about what it's been. And then my mother has never been yelled at and swore at so much in my life as I have this summer. She's been really hard.
Good man, Jerry Brown.
Did you get rid of the cells with Jeanette?
All the stuff's done with her now.
Okay. Christy,
what was the question again?
What was
a challenge that you
Well, I think my biggest challenge was my $1,200 mistake in the Las Vegas airport that caused me to miss my flight to Argentina.
Ooh.
So we missed our flight from Las Vegas to Argentina.
Because they sent you the wrong terminal.
They sent you the wrong terminal, and it cost us a day late. We got into Argentina a day late, and it cost me about $1,200.
They should have just went to a casino.
One person gave me bad information.
Wow.
But we made it there, and I've never been so distraught in my entire life in Las Vegas Airport. I was bawling, sobbing, buckets of tears just pouring down my face. People walking by me going, "What is your problem?" I wanted to hand out a bucket that said, "Make donations here."
Go fund me right now.
I was supposed to.
My son's waiting for me.
It was just terrible. But thankfully, everything worked out.
Can they make it good?
No.
So both of you are out $1,200 each?
$1,200 total.
Okay.
Because we had to change 2 airline flights, hotel flight, taxi flight, rental car cost, and all of those costs cost me about. I haven't added it up exactly, but it's at least $1,200.
Plus the hassle.
Plus Jane was so upset.
Jumping on it. Oh, man.
It was just a nightmare. But we got there and everything was fine, so.
Awesome.
I hate Vegas. I am never going to Vegas again, ever. I have just such travel drama in Vegas that I'm never going there again, ever. And coming home was just as bad because we got stuck in that Southwest glitch.
Uh-huh.
So we sat in the Vegas airport.
It was the trip for
8 hours. Traveling was terrible, but the trip was fantastic.
I know. Can I ask all of you something? Did you find out it was a hard time? You had probably like 5 or 6 things you could have written down. Picking. I thought of you in the air mattress.
That was a real downer.
Except.
How come you didn't just come and stay to my place?
Well, one, because they had no idea how long it was going to be for, and didn't want to. I mean, I knew what you're dealing with your mom's and that, and I didn't want to add to it. I didn't want to add to anything.
Yes.
So it reminded me how great it is to be married with 5 awesome kids, because otherwise I just went to this little duplex with my suitcase in one room, the air mattress in the other, and cook up a hamburger patty with a fried egg on it, eat that.
I kept looking at Kendra's Facebook post. your comments compared to Kendra's post.
They're touring, Yellowstone and going to caves.
I know. I'm
the
going.
Sand dunes and waterfalls and swimming. Yeah, I installed an air conditioner in the window so I could sleep through the night. So I'm not pulling a handcart and everybody's okay.
When will you move in, Gina?
When the house is done.
Okay, then.
And whatever you were saying is a lot better than the people in Argentina.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep. Every time we ask them for a date, it's, well, if all the subcontractors show up when they're supposed to, then maybe around here. Well, yesterday, concrete people were supposed to show up, and they didn't. So we're just like, okay.
What are they for?
They've got to pour the driveway and the sidewalk up to the front door and
show up.
Back patio. We're like, come on, guys.
Lynn can do it for you.
Let's get out of here. The guy was installing the deck yesterday. I went in the morning and then I came back in the afternoon. Everything looked exactly the same. And he walks out and goes, "Is this your ladder?" I said, "Yeah, you can go ahead and use it." He said, "Thanks. I had to spend all day." You had a dip in the floor. They installed one of the joists upside down, so I had to undo it and reinstall it. So I'm ready to start putting the boards on now. I'm sorry. He goes, "No, that's all right. It's just framers. Don't know what they're doing."
You need to send Gene from you over to
you guys check it out, this house.
He's not nearly as nice as you are. When he's talking about firing one of the subs, I mean, they sent him a letter. It's just like, this is going to be done or else.
I think that speech just do a quick celebration.
Uh-huh.
And you can and won't even make you do a snowball. So does somebody ready to share a celebration in the summer?
Can we write it on a paper?
No, we're just gonna
say it.
Yeah. Hey, Lisa, are you ready for celebration?
Sure. Getting Andrew home.
Doing what?
Getting my son home.
From his mission. And he was serving with?
Mexico City.
Oh, very good.
Stacy, do you have one?
Actually getting two sons home from foreign countries because Mark was in Ecuador for the month of July.
I don't really have anything exciting.
Go just pause.
So working with Jeff.
Working with Jeff is awesome. He's so nice and fun.
Connie, do you have a positive? Jeff, do you have a positive for the summer?
I do. We got our daughter, Keisha, home from her mission. It was exciting. And we went to Nauvoo. The week of the 4th of July, I actually took my older kids. I didn't take everybody, but I just really wanted to go and had two missionaries that just got home and wanted to put his papers in. And my daughter in high school, we could all drive, so we just took shifts and we just drove like crazy. But we went and did the whole little tour and came back, and it was awesome.
Wonderful. Connie, do you have something positive for the
I do. Finally. The best thing all summer was going to the Stephen King presentation down in Juan Diego at high school. I couldn't hear anything, but you could see him. And they didn't provide for that. That was, they said, oh, we just give you a seat. But anyhow, watching him, listening to him speak, getting the book, and just spending that whole afternoon and whole evening, you know, with my son was really, really good. The other, I have to tell you this, adjusting to retirement. There was summer, wasn't summer. And today, and yes, yesterday was the first day I thought I might enjoy retirement. So that is a celebration. It was for about 3 hours. And I'm going, I had my feet up reading this, you know, 11/22/63 book by you. And I'm going, okay, I could get used to this. It doesn't matter if I'm not doing anything. I don't have to be moving every minute.
This is great.
Oh, yeah.
Christy.
I think the best thing in my summer was seeing Jaden in Argentina.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful.
Whole year, probably.
Love your pictures.
After all the drama to finally see him like that, this is okay. I'm going to be all right. So.
Is his hair red at all?
It's getting redder now that he's home, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but she's blonde. You know, your pictures.
Yeah.
He's a redhead.
Yeah. It's getting a little bit. Yeah. His hair blew. It's my kid. Well, both boys when they're back in the South American, it's so sunny down there that it just bleaches their hair blonde, bright blonde. So.
Well, I thought that time.
No, his hair's normally red, reddish.
But, yeah. Wow, the pictures he sent were on poster was just wonderful.
Yeah, it was fun.
Lynn.
I guess I did get off to Alaska for a week.
Yeah.
Got a 45-pound king.
Whoa, that's a good one.
Where is Scott? Are you making dinner?
No, I had to turn it loose.
What?
Well, the guy I was with convinced me to keep the gene pool going. I ought to turn it loose. So
well, you have a picture, right?
Yeah.
Good, you have a picture to prove you really did it.
For him, yes. For
aww.
Me, no.
Like,
well, not much. It was sport fishing, other.
My dad just got back.
Did you go on a cruise or jet fishing?
No, I just went up and stayed.
My son's going on a cruise. Well, Dwight is paying for everybody to go on a cruise to Alaska.
So
my dad
sure
and my brother just went last
did
week for my dad's birthday.
Oh, did they?
I didn't talk to him.
16 and
yeah, they immediately turned around and hit my mom up paying for the
cruise. Well, I had a record
every 3 years.
Early summer pickings of my raspberries and 6 pounds every other day. I would pick up raspberries.
Wow!
And now I'm just picking, you know, a cup a day. But I'm going to be more than that in another week. I'm dreading it. I'm hoping the dough moves into the raspberry. Frank.
I am surrounded by more generous, kind-hearted people than I could ever count. People at work, you know, family members. Just everyone. I mean, as you go through this whole house building thing, we've had more people offer, you know, support and help and, you know, a couch or a bed or a room to sleep in than we can keep track of. It's amazing. And I'm lucky I get to, you know, I grew up having 8 kids in my family. There were always people around. I've never been alone. So that's why when there's no one else in the house, I can't sleep. So now I'm lucky enough, I have a brother-in-law and his wife that let me stay down there. They have two little girls. I get home here in Syracuse. I show up probably 9:30 last night, and they're in the kitchen making salsa. And they're like, hey, look, come look. And they want to give me taste of salsa. They want to play with me and stuff. I'm like, okay, I can sleep tonight because I've got somebody else in the house. And we have just great things happening with our principals and people in the district who are getting stuff ready for the start of the school year. And that's, you know, now you hit the point where you say, okay, now it's getting exciting. This lag time in July, or it's kind of just, oh, okay, we're coasting along. And then August hits, and you're like, okay, now the energy picks up. And there's a lot of positivity, and that's fun. That's fun to see and get excited about. So I have too many positive things to talk about.
Which is why we went the hard things to the good things. So now we're kind of caught up on each other. Our first thing that we're going to do in business is we're going to review the district flagship plan and goals for 2016-17. As you remember, last year we did part of it, and then we said, we really can't set the goals for the district. Other people need to do this. So if you do not have one of these...
I have extras here if we need to bring any more. Do you have yours, Christy?
Grab one, gentlemen.
Yep. And we're going to have a bunch of these. We're going to hand them out to new teachers. Oh, thanks. At new teacher induction on the... Well, this Thursday. Thursday, yeah.
For the one it is.
Okay. So if you'll turn to page 5, as we talk about our goals for the year, there are two documents we'll go over. One, these are the achievement goals, and then I have another paper that's in a stack in front of you that's going to talk more about just the administrative goals that we have for the district. So looking at the achievement non-negotiables, we still have our five-year goal of, at the end of the 2017-2018 school year, the percentage of students reaching all four of the ACT college readiness benchmarks will meet the national average. In our meeting tonight, Teresa will be sharing with you our most recent ACT data, so we can see what progress
has
been made.
And that's the chart she had to have state data, not national. It compared us to the state.
Right. I'll see if we can get onto the national site and pull those.
Because I just asked our goal, and the data we were provided is not the same.
Okay. We'll look at that before
tonight. I'm listening to some compliments from some other educators when I had gone over this, with a few people at INTEC, which I am no longer affiliated with. the thing is that what's so impressive to people and who are used to dealing with things like this, is that we have this motto, and mottos or statements, what do they mean? Excellence of culture, what does that mean? But we have all this to back it up, and these measurable goals. It's impressive for educators and administrators who read this. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And that's, of course, that is still our kind of our end of the road goal in terms of academic growth that we're looking at. For our annual achievement non-negotiables, we have our DIBLs. So every K-3 student will achieve a growth score at or above the 48th percentile on their DIBLs assessments. The SAGE data, we do not have the breakdown of the SAGE data yet. We won't have that until mid-September. So right now, I've asked Teresa to prepare a report for that for our end of September board meeting, so we can go over that data there. The initial reports from principals, as they got in and started tracking the results, they feel pretty positive about the growth that they saw on SAGE. It's a little bit tricky going from raw scores, as you all know. You can look at raw score data and get something of a feel for what's going on, but until the state runs their comparison analysis, et cetera, it's hard to have a really solid understanding of it. So we'll be giving you more detailed information on that at the end of September. And that will relate to both the student growth percentile goal as well as the proficiency goal, increasing the number of students meeting proficiency by 2 points when compared to the 2015 results. And then our goal that the percentage of students meeting all four of the ACT college readiness benchmarks will increase by 1 point. Our achievement goals are not going to significantly change over the next 5 years because we're working towards a long-term five-year goal, and these are the benchmarks towards that. So every year when we talk about our academic growth and our goals in that area for the year, right now we're just going to keep referencing these and say, here's what we're trying to do. Here's the progress we want to continue making to get to this end goal point. So those continue to be our achievement goals for the coming school year. Are there any questions about any of those or
just one
data that you would like to see?
On number 7, when we have differentiation, is it understood that differentiated instruction and differentiated assessment, should we spell it out? Or we make an assumption that people know?
Well, if you turn the page to page 7, you'll see that each of the non-negotiables has a description and a rationale for it. So we don't, well, the assessment part is implied under the differentiation may address the content, product, process, or environment. As we tie it into that, that's where we bring the assessment piece in.
So it's mostly differentiated instruction.
It is. So the assessment part is more implied when we do a future draft. That might be something that we can potentially.
Is that covered under the assessment portion of 5 up here?
It doesn't explicitly get into the same question that Connie's asking.
Okay.
It's implied in both of them, especially as you get into the formative assessment. Effective formative assessment reduces the gap between current desired performance and provides the necessary information for the teacher to plan future instructional activities. If you're going to have the necessary information, you're going to have to assess different students in different ways so you get that appropriate information. So it's not stated as explicitly as maybe we could state it in the future.
Because what you could do, I know you're not going to do it right now, but under assessment, you could just have another dot, and it would be differentiated assessment, period. And then under, for number 7, it's just called differentiated instruction, period. And then you have all of those things that, this is what differentiated instruction is.
So that's something we'll need to continue to focus on as we provide professional development and we do trainings throughout the year, clarifying that.
Okay. Just
and it'll be interesting to ask the stage.
It will be.
Yeah, that may be.
Yeah.
We may have to tweak that goal just because
stage may go away.
It may go away. In which case, yeah, we'll have to completely clean it up and go a different direction. So that's going to be really interesting.
That would be interesting.
And see what happens there. So in the stack of papers that you have in front of you, you have this document that says Superintendent's Annual Report. What these are the non-academic goals that we have for the district this year. Now, they are tied to our non-negotiables, both for achievement and for instruction. But you'll see that a lot of what we're going to be focusing on this year is gathering some baseline data. Last year, we spent a lot of time talking about the mission, the vision, what is our purpose, and kind of trying to create a consistent understanding around those things among ourselves as a board and district leadership, but then also with all of our building principals. And we'll continue to build on that and focus on it this year. But really, all of the work from last year is what led to the creation of the flagship plan so we can communicate that. What we want to do this year is start gathering some data so we can better inform where we go next. You see, the first goal is we want at least 85% of our employees to know the mission.
Are you going to add that minimum of 85%?
I can add that. Yeah, we can edit that. The purpose of sharing this right now is these are draft goals. If there are things that you as a board would like us to add or revisions that we have, we can do that right now. So we can definitely say at least or a minimum of 85% of employees will know our mission. You see the action plan, and then how are we going to measure whether or not we've reached that goal? What's our measurement of success? And then finally, at the end of the year, so when we meet in June as a board and Jeff and Stacy and I, this is where we'll discuss, was the goal reached? How do we know? And that's where I'll need to bring evidence to you all that we've accomplished what we said we were going to do during the year. Connie.
So what would you make a statement anywhere? I'm not saying you have to, but would you make a statement anywhere about what about the 15% of the people who do not know that? We've missed. It would be nice to have 100% of the people know.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything to address the fact that 15% of the people don't know what the school's district's goals are?
Well, what I think we would want to do at that point is identify, okay, can we tell why they don't know it? Do we have any idea
that's what I'm asking.
Why they
if
don't?
You want to, is there anything there?
Not yet.
Not yet.
These are still...
Not yet. Right now the focus is just we want to get as many people knowing this as possible, and we want at least 85% of our employees to say, yeah, we know the mission.
So how many of you could do it right now without looking?
Look.
So I would challenge all of us to memorize it, and I've noticed Frank has that below his signature on everything that comes out, so... I just think that we as a board need to model that very behavior. And when people, like I had the other day, negative in the gym about our school district, I was able to, you know, state what our mission is and what we're working toward, what our challenges are. I think most people don't understand how different our district is from the county.
That's right.
Would it be helpful for us to be
one
of the
decided
in board meetings?
So some of the things that we're doing, and I have these, if we want to pass these around, these are some of our updated note cards.
Okay, I see.
So what we've done is we've put the mission statement on the front of the thank you card, so as we go out and give thank you notes to teachers, they'll see that. It's my signature line on my email, so any emails that go out from me, that's on the signature. We're going to have it on all of our district agendas, our principal meetings agendas, our directors agendas. They'll all have the mission statement. So we're going to be communicating it. We're giving all of the principals vinyl lettering of the mission statement so they can put it up in their offices. It's up in all the directors' offices now. So it's something that can be referenced on a regular basis in all of our conversations.
Conversation with the person this summer saying, you know what? The school system does not exist to give you a job. The school system does not exist to give the school board something to do. It's the school board exists to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So officially, is it all our or all?
Yeah,
and this
I've
one says ensure all students, and this one says ensure all our students. Leave
and
our
I
house.
Like it better, all students.
It's all students,
yeah.
Not
okay.
All our students, so. We'll fix that on the next round of the cards.
Okay.
So all students leave our schools ready to create a positive future for themselves and their community.
And if somebody's put the all hour, we will knock
them
down.
So that's what I mean. What is so nice is that we have this statement, but we also have meat to go with it. We have ways
mm-hmm.
to measure that. That's what I was talking about, you know, when that person said, yeah, it's nice to see that you have a slogan that means something. Because you see that at schools all the time, and they have this, yeah, you know, out to conquer the world. And then you go, well, where are the things that show you if you've done that? So,
I think it's something, as we discussed last year, I think it's a statement that allows us to truly tie it into any conversation we're having with students or with staff, saying, well, this is our end goal. This is the reason we exist. How does this topic we're discussing tie into that? So we'll conduct an online survey towards the end of the year. And we'll do this as a multiple choice. So instead of giving people a text box and say, please write the mission statement, we'll have maybe four options and identify which of these is our mission statement. We don't want to make it harder than it needs to be. Yes.
Is it possible to just make a note somewhere there that part of your action plan is to... at the end, determine something about those missing 15% or whatever.
Why don't you, Connie, why don't you make write down suggestions for Frank and get them to him? And can even set up a meeting where you can add some of those to him.
But it's still
I'm just making a note on there, but that's all.
100% of people will know it, because you can't control 100% of the people. And
right.
So it's unfortunate that you don't make your goal based on other people's actions, because you can't force people to do something that they don't want to do.
Right.
And so I would hate it not to reflect poorly on you when you've done everything you can do, and someone chooses just to be obstinate and refuse to take the survey.
And
there could be people that would do that, so...
Well, you know who does and doesn't.
You have to do your best effort, and that's reflected upon. I think 85% is a good...
Well, to me, if we got 85%, it's a whole, probably 84% higher than anything that's ever.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't think anybody would.
It will be anonymous, right?
So I think it's good.
And it will be a discussion. If we reach 85% and then we have all these that got it wrong, we'll say, okay, well, what do we need to do more? Or what more could we do? Do we just continue down the path that we're on and it's simply a matter of time and exposure?
Right.
Or do we need to do something drastically different?
And that's all I'm asking, is that we say something. That's it.
And so if you can come up with some phrasing that you think would address that, I think we can do that.
I'm putting say something.
And one of the things I see on this is, on our turn the ship around, he didn't say, you know, we're going to punish these who don't know it.
No, not punish.
But he noted how many people said those three things. Hello, I'm, you know, named the ship, named the person, named the position, and greeted
mm-hmm.
them. And to me, knowing our mission statement is very
right.
similar. And making sure that it is, and I think it becomes a snowball, similar to what... You know, that we really, in many ways, we're working for the positive, and to lift the negative part of the goal, I'm not sure I want it there.
I don't think it's a negative part to say that what we would want to do is what can we do to increase that,
But I don't think that fits in a goal. What are we going to do to increase it, to me?
I don't see why it doesn't fit. It's part of the goal.
Could you just say something about continue to encourage those that...
And
that
would almost be next year's goal rather than this year's.
Yeah. It's like, you know, continue to... If I am teaching a class and I give a test and I have 15% of the kids not pass it, the question I'm going to ask myself is, okay, what do I do now to help those kids? Or why did they not get it? What did I do? What can I do better? Whatever. And it doesn't have to be something so specific. It just has to be, say something. I don't know what that something would be. But it isn't a negative statement.
Okay.
State the behavior in the direction you want it to go.
And I think it's something that we can definitely work on. I think one challenge that immediately comes to mind is, if we want the information to lead to an action, it can't be anonymous information. So we're going to have to type to names. Because if we have an anonymous number of people who don't know the mission statement, then our ability to respond is scattershot.
Right.
If we have names, then we understand, okay, here are some individuals who weren't able to respond correctly. You know, then we know how to respond. But if you have anonymous data, creating a response,
right.
a targeted response is difficult. So I think, let me think some more about how
right.
we might
there would
put
be
that
no
in.
Targeted response. It would be a shotgun approach, and
right.
you'd hit the same people. Right.
So let me think some more about how we could put that in.
And that's all I'm
sure
asking.
Well, you have to have expectations to the employee.
Yeah.
It says, I'm going to ask you at the end of the year if you know the mission statement, because it's not fair for you to assume that they know it, and then they're in the 15%, and you say, why don't you know it? And you're going to get in trouble because you don't know it when you didn't tell them that they had to know it.
Yeah.
So it all starts with getting our baseline data, which is the same that you'll see for the next two goals. The next goal is gathering baseline SET data. SET stands for school-wide evaluation tool.
Okay.
It's a tool that's used to evaluate a school's implementation of positive behavior supports. What it is, it's a series of interviews. You have what we're going to have is two school-wide evaluation tools.
It evaluates behavior support, positive?
Yes, positive behavior supports. So the way it works is you'll have two evaluators, and we're going to train all the principals on the school-wide evaluation tool in our September 5th meeting, well, our first meeting in September, I think it's September 6th. What they're then going to do is we're going to put them in partnerships, and they're going to be assigned two schools. They will pick a day to go to those schools during lunch, and they're going to interview 10 students, and I believe 5 teachers. And very simple interviews. They have a checklist or they have a chart. They go to the interview questions. They just mark the responses. And they're fake questions like, what are your school rules? What happens if a student doesn't follow the rules? What happens when you do something really well at school? And they're looking to see, are there patterns of students knowing what the rules are, students recognizing their consistent consequences for not following the rules, and that there's recognition for achievement, for doing things positively. So they interview the teachers and the students to gather that information. And then the directors, who are assigned to each school as a liaison, will do an interview with the principal. And there the focus is, what are your procedures when a student is sent to the office? What are your procedures for dealing with an active shooter? So looking at more the administrative side. So you take the information from the student and the teacher interviews, the information from the administrator interview, and you compile that, and it provides feedback to the school on how consistently they're implementing positive behavior supports across the school. It really is a great tool. It's been done. It happened at Midvale when I was a principal there, at Sunrise when I was a principal there, and we have the tool. It's a very simple tool to administer, but we want to get some basic data on really where are we with the implementation of positive behavior supports. That's what we're going to be.
Is that an online? You say it's an online?
It's not online.
So it's like a paper?
You can access it online, but it's a pencil paper thing. You have it on a clipboard and just tally boxes as you go through.
Who interviews the administrators?
It will be the district director, who is assigned as their building liaison. So, for example, Teresa will interview Sue.
Okay.
Suzanne will interview Jed. I'll interview Ken and John. It will be whoever is the district liaison.
Wow, that's good.
And does that tie, ties into their evaluation?
Doesn't tie into their evaluation. All this is we want some baseline data.
Right.
Because we have on how are we doing with this. If positive behavior supports is one of our non-negotiables, and we know that this is going to have a positive impact both on student learning but also overall school climate and working conditions and everything, we need to gather some data on where we actually are with this. And that's why you talk to both students, staff, and administrators.
I'd let you know, too.
This will, right now we're only going to do it at the start of the year.
Okay.
You have to wait until the first 60 days of school, or it might be the first 45 days of school has passed, so you have a chance for routines to have been established, and then you go in. So we're not going in to do the set until end of October. We've already picked a day. This is the day everyone's going to go out, and this is the week when we have to do the administrator evaluation.
It will be interesting to see whether or not people are using the vocabulary that goes with positive behavior supports.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they will, but they won't say it that way. And
that's one of the reasons for doing the evaluation this way, is we can figure out, okay, what are people understanding? Then we can use this as a better tool to start setting tighter goals in terms of positive behavior supports. The other thing we're going to do is for the first... really 3 months, for all of our administrator meetings, we're going to start at a school. And in the state office's least restrictive behavioral intervention booklet, they have a classroom evaluation checklist for going into a classroom and just saying, okay, does the teacher have these behavioral supports in place? Are there evidences, or is there evidence of these behavioral supports?
Such as
clearly posted expectations. Do we see students being reinforced for appropriate behavior? If there is inappropriate behavior, does the teacher respond appropriately and promptly? Those types of things. Really, really simple, basic things. But the idea is, can we actually document that these things are happening? For the first few months, we're going to have principals start our administrator meetings. For example, we'll all go to Wilson. Principals will be placed in partnerships. They'll visit two classrooms, maybe 10 minutes apiece. They'll just gather data on positive behavior supports, and then we'll all go into the conference room and just do a quick go around the room. Principals all share what I saw. So a principal will basically get a snapshot of their entire school in terms of what's going on with classroom management in each classroom, and then the discussion will be, okay, if you were the principal of this school, what were you, what would your next steps be? What are the things that are going well? What are the areas where we see we could improve, and what would we do to accomplish that? So the goal really is to turn all of the administrators into a working PLC. They go into the room, they collect some data together, they then come back, they process the data together, and they come up with recommendations for action together. And we'll do that at every school.
And they get seen much more as
it
they should
be. It also
increases
visibility.
Yeah, they get
yes.
seen much more by the teachers. They also get seen as what they are supposed to be, and that is the instructional leader of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And great.
Does that stress them
yeah.
out? But that might stress them out a tiny bit.
It may a little bit, so we're going to be working on a couple things. Number one, clarifying this has nothing to do with any evaluation.
The teacher or the...
Yeah, anybody. There's no evaluation tied to this. This is just us collecting data and working as professionals, making our practice visible for everybody. So we'll clarify that, and then we'll tell the principals, okay, this is your chance to go in and help people feel good. This is your
yeah.
chance to show
right.
that you can go into a classroom and not freak people out. So we'll tell people plenty of time in advance, let them know this is what we're doing. This
you
isn't
just talk about that
an individual
time.
Issue. This is, we're getting school-wide data. In fact, we can even say on the individual charts, we're not tracking individual teacher data. We're just looking at school-wide trends.
Classroom
so nothing
classroom
will be,
B.
Yeah, so nothing B. will be personally identifiable.
When you come into a classroom,
there will still be some stress. But
when you set that expectation in the beginning, and, you know, it's like most good teachers will say, I would like my principal to just pop in. I would like to see my principal in my classroom more. And rather than being the only time I see my principal is when I get sent to the office, like a kid does.
Mm-hmm.
Or the only time I see him is when I'm being evaluated and then I get criticized. You know, I think you're setting the principals and the teachers up for a much more collaborative relationship and a much more, I'm not so afraid when you come in anymore,
mm-hmm.
which it should
but
be.
But it may not be their own principal. It could be a different.
Right, it'll be different principal.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're going to have elementary principals going into the high school
right.
uh-huh.
and the high school principal going into
right.
elementary school.
Yeah.
It's a good practice to
right.
I think as the more it's done,
we
there
saw
will be.
In Canyons when they implemented the new teacher evaluation system and a classroom observation tool, one of the things they did is they said, look, you've got to go out and practice this. So they scheduled times for everybody to go out in a variety of schools that were not their own. And the understanding was, look, this is not going to be part of anyone's evaluation. This is just so principals can get practice. And they understand what's going on. And at first, I mean, there were some teachers that were stressed about it, but after a month of this happening and repeated visits, everyone's like, yeah, it's just
fine.
The administrators are here
too
again.
When it's not your administrator, when you just know that it's being done district-wide and it's not their administrator, they don't feel like they're...
Isn't it nice for elementary principals to see what goes on in high school to see elementary... And middle school for them to switch around like that? That's really
well,
good.
Well, if there's one thing that we have in this district is a disconnect between schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can build some kind of camaraderie between
right.
elementary to middle and middle to high,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
anything's going to be able to help build that relationship between the schools so that we really are a K-12 district versus K-5. You know, we're currently more chunks.
And the best practices at one elementary are also having... At another elementary,
right.
even though they
and
have their individual
and at the high school,
right.
across the board.
And that is one of the big things, Christy, that I hope we can accomplish through this is by having more. More conversations that are cross grade levels. It is
right.
kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Our administrative meetings, the elementary principals do gravitate
yeah.
to a table, and middle school gravitates here, and we're consciously as directors we're mixing them up more. saying, but you got to have discussions with other people, not just with your building. That limits the value of the meeting. So the big thing, we want to get some solid data on where are we right now so we can make some better decisions in terms of what do we need to do next and what supports we have to provide. We're going to do the same thing with PLCs. We do have a PLC observation tool. Annette and I have gone over it. It's not on Observer tab. This one is a pencil paper tool right now.
Does it have a name?
Right now it's just the PLC observation tool.
That's a good
name. It's not highly creative.
Wow.
It's the PLCOT.
It's not like you can go Google it and find it.
It's the Plickit.
I like it.
The P-slot. So what this will be is administrators will go to each PLC in their building twice during the year. So they have to do it. Now, they'll attend those meetings more frequently, but they have to complete the evaluation with every PLC in their building at least twice during the year. It's very simple. It focuses on, is everybody participating? Is there a clear agenda? Are we using data to make decisions? Are we student-focused as opposed to what activity is coming up next? All of the things that we have discussed in PLCs that were discussed in the Vegas conference, it looks at, are we really doing the work of a PLC, or is this just professionals getting together and spending time? You know, what do we want to do? So again, this isn't going to be part of anyone's evaluation. It's simply we're getting baseline data on where are we so we can identify what we want to do next. I think this is especially going to be valuable for the elementary principals being in new buildings this year. This is a chance for them to get a very clear picture of how are these PLCs functioning. In some cases, they're going to be leaving a school that they believed had well-functioning PLCs, and they're going to go into an environment where they say, wow, I guess this is what a well-functioning PLC looks like. And it's going to be a learning experience for both for teachers and principals. So, again, the focus is baseline data so we know where we want to head next.
Because if eventually, well, maybe we already do it, okay, but it's like when you have all of these things in here, non-negotiables and so forth, is that the practices have to go from elementary to middle to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has to be able to see that and know that.
Right. The next one is you go to the back of that page. We have a district goal related to school advisory committee meetings. Now, our schools all started implementing these last year. We have some schools where they went extremely well. I think Wilson Elementary had Becky Taylor kind of running the SAC, and they were outstanding. Their meetings were consistent. They had good agendas. They communicated the results of the meeting quickly out to all staff members. So we know that the SAC meetings are happening. My next goal with the SAC is that the minutes from those meetings start to inform our administrative discussions. So if there are issues that are being brought up at a school, that there's a venue outside of the SAC for those to be discussed. So for example, we're going to continue to reiterate and strengthen that the monthly emails or the monthly SAC minutes need to be sent both to Stacy and to the district liaison for that school. We're going to ask the district liaison to review the SAC minutes so the district liaison is aware of what issues are being brought up. And as the district liaison sees recurring issues on the SAC minutes, that the district liaison can have conversations with the building principal about them. Say, hey, I've been looking at your minutes. I see this is an issue that's shown up on the last three agendas. Let's talk about it a little bit. What's going on? What things are you doing to try to resolve it, et cetera?
Will they keep the same liaison for how long? A whole year? Or will you switch those?
It will definitely be this whole year.
Okay.
We haven't discussed whether that changes next year, but they will have the same liaison for the entire year. And then in September and April, we're going to survey the leadership of each professional organization, so the classified, licensed, and administrators, just to get their input on, is this helping? You know, what types of conversations are being had? I thought about, okay, do we want to send a survey out to all employees asking for their impressions of the SAC.
Not all of them were involved.
They're not all involved, and some have chosen to view this as just the district's mandating this, yeah. And it doesn't do any good, etc. So I want to get the information from the people who are actively involved. I thought the easiest would be the leadership of each association, because they can talk to their membership and see what's going on. You know, we could do it with each of the SACs at each school, but I was thinking it might be cleaner and easier to start the discussion if we just focus on the leadership from each association.
One of my questions is, I know there were comments here and there about, well, my concern wasn't brought up because of the personnel issue. Mm-hmm. Is anyone looking at those besides just the Is anybody responding to the personnel issues, deeper into them, rather than just, well, this is personnel, so we're not going to look at it?
You know, that's a great question. It's been dependent on each school, and, you know, different schools have tried to address that in different ways, either by communicating to the staff or to the SAC. You know, I have these three concerns that, you know, aren't topics for discussion right now because they relate to personnel, and sometimes they'll share them and say, I'll share them with you, but they're not appropriate for discussion right now because there's nothing, they go against the purpose of the SAC, so we're not going to get into it. Others have addressed it through email. So we don't have, that's a great question, whether we need to have a consistent approach district-wide for dealing with inappropriate comments that come to the SAC, or the schools that have put on their SAC form, you know, what's the proposed solution. So this is more than just a complaint session. It's, here's what I think needs to be done differently. If you're not coming up with proposed solutions, then, you know, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on your issue. You know, well, again, we'll make people aware of it, but we're not going to spend a lot of time discussing it if you're not willing to put forward, here's what I think we should do instead of this.
So do, in your experience, have people use that form to bring up inappropriate
at times? Last year we had some that did come up.
Well, I think they need a way they feel like that is the appropriate way to deal with the personnel issues. Because I think they get tired of hearing, well, that's a personnel issue, we can't discuss it. They need to feel like there's a proper way to handle a personnel issue.
And what is the proper way, Frank? Is it to contact you? Is it to contact the principal?
Well, the personnel issues.
Who's the offending them, or what is the appropriate route?
What we've put into our employee orientation, formerly known as critical policy review for next year, we do have a slide on this. And LEA and I worked on it last year. It's the appropriate resolution and communication of concerns. And let me actually pull it up. I'll read the slide to you. Because this was something that I met with Rayanne and Curtis Benjamin and said, look, we need, because there were some things that were being done to communicate concerns that were not appropriate. Where is this? So yeah, we wanted to clarify that. So together, here's what we came up with. We recognize that in the course of normal district operations, there will be concerns that arise between employees. It's going to happen. In such cases, employees of the district adhere to the following means to appropriately communicate and resolve concerns. Direct communication between the individuals involved, communication with building level administration, monthly school advisory committee meetings, communication of concerns to LEA leadership through the use of the LEA concern form, monthly LEA leadership meetings with district administration, and association representation in conversations with administrators. So we said you can talk directly to the person involved, you can talk to the administrator. If you're not comfortable talking to the administrator and it's not a personnel issue, you can go to the SAC. If it is a personnel issue, you can file a concern with LEA.
Which is not a grievance. It's just
not a grievance. It's just, and that's the thing. LEA, the leadership from LEA can go to a conversation with a teacher, with administration. If the person isn't an LEA member, they need to be cautious about what counsel they give. But they can always be there as a support and part of the conversation. So what we're telling people is that, look, if you have a concern, we have multiple avenues that are put in place so you can communicate concerns and you can communicate them safely with the focus on resolution. If the focus is not on resolution, we don't want to hear it. The focus has to be resolution. We don't want to hear it as a little teacher. But we want the focus to be resolution. Whoever's listening to the recording, that was too strong. So. But we do want to say the focus has to be on resolution of the concern. And in order to promote that, here are avenues that have been provided. And we want you to use those avenues. Those are the things. Those will be communicated to everyone as part of their employee orientation this year.
When is the new teacher orientation?
It starts this Thursday.
When is a new teacher orientation that perhaps board members would be interested in watching?
It starts this Thursday. I kick it off. So I'm there at 8:15 and I'm just talking about welcome to the district, here are the things we want you to do. We'll talk about being a flagship district, et cetera. So that would be one that, you know,
this Thursday?
It would probably be the most appropriate for a board member to attend. There are going to be other times where they're talking about learning thinking maps and getting training.
You get introduced if someone's there.
Right. So I would say if you want to go Thursday, we're at 8 o'clock out at Bridger Elementary. If you'd like to come to that and be introduced, I think that would be fantastic. And I'll be the first presenter for that. And then this will be part of kind of the critical policy review that we do with all employees.
Are you going to give a presentation for the whole school, for the whole district, as like you did when you first came on board?
Yes, that's on.
That's coming later. Okay.
Yeah, that'll be August 17th.
Okay, so I guess I don't quite understand. If an employee has a conflict with their supervisor, what you're saying is for them to go to the LEA.
Mm-hmm.
Versus going to you or the district. So I guess I'm a little confused as to why
if they're not
they go
an LEA
to the
member.
LEA person versus going directly to that person's supervisor, because that's really kind of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
at least that I'm always aware of, is that you go to the person that's direct in line. And so I guess I'm trying to figure out where LEA fits in that chain of...
Well... My take on that is because LEA leadership is occasionally able to have conversations with those teachers to clarify positions and expectations in a way that doesn't make it the ultimate administrator telling them what they have to do. For example, if we have a teacher, let's say we have a principal who says, you know, I'd like for us all to make contact with a group of students. Let's say an elementary principal say, hey, during the first 3 weeks of school, what I would like for you to do is make phone contact with the parents of the students in your class, just reaching out, making a personal contact. And I have a third grade teacher who says, I don't think I should be expected to do that. I'm not going to do that. Well, if they come directly to me with that complaint, my response is, well, you received a directive from your administrator. That is something you have to do, and I'm telling you now, you have to do that. And coming from me as the superintendent, it's another administrative directive. Whereas if that teacher goes to the LEA leadership first, the LEA leadership can have the conversation, well, tell me what's going on. Why are you concerned about that? What is the principal trying to accomplish? Have you asked these questions? Have you had this conversation with the administrator? LEA can facilitate that conversation in a very different way than I can as a superintendent. I can still do it, but for LEA leadership to say, you know what, why don't we talk to the principal and let's get some information and let's go through this conversation, I believe can lead to better understanding and more improved collegial relationships, if it's done appropriately, than if the conversation comes to me first. If it comes to me, it ends up being less about preserving collegial relationships and becomes more of, this is policy, this is law, here's what you have to do. Connie.
I think the one thing you have to be careful of, though, is using LEA as your first choice. I think it should be one of many options. As having been LEA president for a long time, I know that my liability, okay, my insurance or whatever it is that covers me for whatever actions I take as president, only go for those people who are LEA members. So should I give, that's what you say, that we have, the leadership has to be very careful. I think I would say to people, it's like, okay, do what you're told to do and then complain or grieve it, all right, or whatever. But you cannot be disobedient. What is the word I'm looking for?
Insubordinate.
Insubordinate, right. If your principal says, I need you to go down and watch the lunchroom, and you go, well, no, I'm supposed to have a duty-free lunch. Well, I need you to do that today because. Then you go do it, and then you can go and complain about it if you want. But it's, I think a lot of people would be offended by saying, okay, if you can't talk to your principal, go to your LEA leadership first. There are, go to your department chair first, go to another colleague that you trust, talk with a senior member of the school, talk with a person, LEA leadership, as one of many.
And that's a great point. And that's intended to come across in the, you know, you have communication with the building level administration and direct communication with the people involved. There shouldn't ever be, you know, just as you emphasized, it shouldn't go, you know, our first response is LEA leadership. The first response also should not be jump the principal and go to district office administration. And we've had cases where that's happened. It's happened this summer.
Sure.
And we've had to say, no, that's not how you start the conversation. You haven't even had the conversation with your principal. You don't start the conversation by jumping to district office staff.
Well, see, Mary had a really interesting experience with Ken and Marcy this year that I don't mind sharing because she totally understands it, is that the confusion or understanding about, you know, rooms and stuff like that, is that, you know, Mary thought that because of whatever issues were going on with rooms, is that she should talk with her special ed director, okay? So she went to Marcy with the concerns about rooms and everything like that. And then so Marcy said something to Ken. So Ken called Mary in and said to Mary, okay, Mary, this is how I operate, okay, is that I want you to come to me first, okay? And Mary says, oh, okay, I just thought that I should go to her. And Ken says, no, not anymore. This is how we're going to do it, is that you come, you bring it to me. And I know what Mary's comment was, that she was so pleased that the principal is saying, please come and talk to me, you know. And so, and she thought that it was, what Ken's trying to establish is that he wants teachers to come and talk to him. Mm-hmm. That's what he was trying to establish before you go to the district office. Even whether it's a district director or whether it's a superintendent, is he wants them to come to him first.
Just
does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. Just as we don't want a teacher to complain to students saying, I can't believe I was asked to do service this month.
Right.
You go do it, you go talk to the appropriate person, and that talking to kids about it is not appropriate.
Well, and the goal is what, again, if we're looking at resolution, we know problems are best resolved when they're dealt with at the lowest level possible. So what do we do to promote that level of conversation so we can move towards resolution?
You know, I think, Frank, we would appreciate having a version of that slide because it's not something we've really talked about before. You know, they call us and we say, you know, go back and do this, and this is kind of a new level, which just makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, if I have an issue about the way school board's being run, I often talk to to somebody else and we decide, well, can we deal with this or not? And then the two of us or whatever talk with the president. And
well, I guess the thing that concerns me most is that it just puts a lot of trust in your LEA representative,
right,
your leadership, because they have to understand that role.
And some do and some don't.
And some do and some don't.
Correct.
If they're going to say, oh, yeah, that principal, he should not be asking you, he or she should not be asking you to do that, and that's inappropriate and wrong.
Right.
You know, that's unfortunate for the employee to get that information from their LEA representative.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, when it comes to the district office, you're going to say, no,
right,
you need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of puts LEA, they walk a fine line to make sure that they're giving
Absolutely.
Out information that is appropriate and that the district will support.
And that's one of the reasons why I meet monthly with the LEA leadership and the UNISERV director, so we can have those conversations.
The first question you always ask when anything comes, if you're LEA leadership, first thing you always ask is, have you talked to your principal? Have you talked to the teacher? But the thing is that, like Christy's saying, is that there are some LEA leaderships that are really well informed and say that you need to go do this first. But then the LEA runs the risk of if I give them some advice and they go and do it and then they lose their job, man, they're going to sue me. And I'm not covered because I have no right to
do that.
Yeah.
Okay, Lynn.
Good.
I don't know. To me, if that's part of the LEA's responsibility.
LEA membership, right.
Yeah,
but you're supposed to inform everyone.
I know. But I'm still saying they need to be informed. And
right.
To me, maybe they make a mistake once, okay? But it seems to me that it gives them the opportunity, as they're visiting with Frank, to be able to receive the proper instruction of what it's not.
Right.
And we learn from, you know, we're all going to make some mistakes here and there. But to me, if we don't include them some way, what good is it?
Well, that's what I'm saying to Frank, is that they are part of the option. They're part of it. But I don't think that there's the
Well, if I listen to the presentation that
yeah.
Frank just gave, you have so many options.
Right.
That was one of the options.
Okay.
That was just one of the options. It's not the option. It's one of these options that
right.
you can do as a person who has a problem without running to Frank all the time.
Absolutely.
To me, it sounds.
And I can look. Let me see if there are some things I can do to clarify some of the language. We also might. We may add a slide about the SAC meetings, and provide some clarification there. But at least in the language on this slide, there might be some things we can do to clarify, and make it more obvious there are multiple options. You know, what is the process? If it's not appropriate to discuss in the school advisory committee, you know, what is the appropriate venue to do
and
how to
deal with that? Do you encourage people to join the association?
We do.
Okay. See, then I think that's good too. But I think everybody here's right. Nobody's saying anything wrong. I
mm-hmm.
I totally agree with Len. I agree with Christy. I agree with me.
I will also send you all a copy of this presentation when it's done. Well, we'll get you a copy. It's too big to email, but it starts, I mean, the second slide is all of your pictures saying thank you to teachers for, you know, the Board of Education and District Administration would like to thank you for the service you provide to students and patrons of our school. Has your smiling faces, you know, you're all there in front of everybody. So the presentation begins with you all saying we appreciate what you do as employees. Thanks for all that. So,
do we all play that in unison right now and you record it?
No.
Oh.
Because right now it's fairly polished. So the we don't want
to
except for that one slide. We might add that a little bit. So those are what I refer to as our district goals moving forward from the administration. We have our achievement goals and we have those administrative goals. Now on the sheet you see two that are in italics.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go over those when we go into closed session. Those are more my personal goals, some things that I personally want to work on and see us accomplish, as well as the third one that's on the last page. So they're less district-wide goals and more, these are things that I personally want to focus on. Are there other items that you all as a board would like us as a district administration to focus on this year? We're, as I said, we're really going to be spending a lot of time collecting data and then trying to use the minutes from our SAC meetings to inform more discussions.
Okay.
Are there other things that you would like the district administration to include in our focus?
My only question is, if those are our district goals, is there anything on student achievement there? We have what our mission is, which is student achievement, but we don't have a, but I guess it all refers back to those general goals that are in the book, right?
So
that's what I just want to make sure that we will, and we continue to follow our, and so whether that's one of the goals is to continue to follow, or we just know that these five-year goals are what we're working on, and these are just supplementary to them.
They'll remain consistent over 5 years because the end goal hasn't changed, so the benchmark steps towards that goal remain.
I think all these things are supporting that. They just don't directly say it.
Right, and we will get reports to the board and others about what those goals are that are in the book, right?
Correct. Yes.
Great. Then.
Like when you have high reliability organizations, this is something we will be measuring in our schools. This is coming, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's great, is if everyone knows that this flagship plan, this is what we're working on, and then there are individual goals that are set from that.
Will these be made available for
everyone?
Anyone who wants to come to the district and pick one up?
Not the printed booklets, no. We'll have the PDF available online.
Okay.
But these booklets will only be made available to employees.
But you will put flagship plan online.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Absolutely wonderful.
Shannon was interviewing for a new webmaster yesterday, so I haven't visited with him yet to see
how are you going to let everybody know that? Put it on the website, I guess.
We'll put it on the website. Shannon will put it on Facebook.
Okay.
We'll maybe a parent link message.
Parent group can put it on too.
Her updates have been really nice on Facebook.
She's been doing a great job.
Can we, on our individual websites, like on my webpage, I would want to put on there, hey, everybody, if you want to look at the flagship plan.
Once the link is up, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
Once the link is up, you can take that link and you can put it in a Facebook post or something. That'd be completely appropriate.
Wonderful. Are we ready to move into closed session?
I believe we are.
Oh. Did anybody want a copy of the new educator induction schedule?
Yes.
I sent that whole schedule print that we sent out to staff.
Oh, okay.
I just emailed it to all of
them.
And then that was a month or so ago, wasn't it?
No, I don't know.
She said you just emailed it right now to everybody, correct?
Okay.
This year?
Yeah.
Can we get
all right.
That? She just sent that.
Something. Do we, she
just emailed that to you.
It needs to be a goal, but
right now, just now. Okay, I'm not going to check now because
in a flagship plan about community councils, and nothing on here. And I know that they're hammering us consistently about, and we have obviously a great deal of oversight over community councils, and I just wonder if we need to include community councils somewhere in some of our documents.
Mm-hmm. And we can do that. I think that's going to be a big piece about the board goals. And one of the reasons why we wanted to do, here's the flagship plan for the district, here's the, but that is a question.
But they
is
have
that
to coincide,
something that needs
because
to
we
be
can't
in?
Make, the board can't make a goal, our own goal, and not have it tied into the other district goals as well, because it's, we all work together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so somewhere, I just feel like it needs to be addressed either in your goals, in this goal documentation, or this, because we can't do what we need to do without it being included in this, and that is a big part of what we do.
So,
and what we have related to the community extent is going to be
product. Yeah, the only thing that we don't do anything where we explicitly state it. The reason for that is because in our discussions with directors, we always considered it to be under the communication piece of tracks.
Okay.
That's where we considered that it fit. So we didn't specifically say anything about school community council because our thought process was, as you are working on communication across the district, your school community council is a primary part of that, which is why we want to have the regular meetings, the district community council meetings that we started implementing last year, and moving forward in that direction. So that was the thought process behind it. Now, I agree that there's definitely value to stating it somewhere. I'm not opposed to putting it somewhere here with the goals. I'm just not sure. We just have to identify, okay, what do we want to accomplish with the community council this year? Is it increasing attendance at our 3 times a year meetings? Is it, because at the end of last year, we had some really good conversations as a district community council. We provided some training, and then there were discussion about, you know, issues that they've identified as in terms of district climate. So I was actually really pleased with the information that they brought and the types of conversations we were able to have. So we could put something along the lines of building on those conversations, strengthening them.
I really think the board itself, it's our goals, one of our goals needs to be something to that community council, because our role is so increased with school community councils.
I'm just looking at, you know, the stack thing here, to include some administrative discussions. You know, I think there are issues brought up in community council, some of the same types of things that maybe are brought up in SACs, the SACs that we need to be aware, and maybe not on yours, but definitely on the board, that we need to be aware of those issues that do come up in the community council.
I think we've never, as a board, we never have had a, been times when we have attended the community council meetings as observing, then we went through a time when we'd only go when we were invited to go, and then you never get invited. I think
they just don't think about it.
Yeah, I think there ought to be something, and I agree probably more on a board level, mm-hmm. to just say, you know, let's, what is maybe, you know, what is appropriate? You know, we don't want to be there to, but I know the ones that I've attended, I was given time to be asked questions that was beneficial for misunderstandings that they had and stuff. So.
Well, I think it helps us get our pulse on what's really happening, mm-hmm. in the school.
Yeah.
Well, and that would be, I would agree that would be critical to, for us to have the board to be more engaged in community council. But if we say that we want to understand, or whatever the, I'm not sure exactly, I'm just throwing that out, mm-hmm. there as a concern, is whatever we say, it has to be carried through with something along, because we don't carry it out.
Let's,
we say,
right.
We want you to do community councils, and then we rely on you to carry that out. So if that's our goal, then therefore, if it's the board's goal, therefore it's your goal.
So what if we did something, you know, that's a, I like looking at it that way. What if we did something along the lines of, one of my goals is to have all board members at, not necessarily at the same meeting, but all board members participate in the district's community council meetings. We say we have 3 of these during the year. We would like all board members to attend at least one. And we would like to have at least a board member at every one. And that, the focus, the purpose for that is to increase communication between board members and school community council chairs. So they're the primary ones to attend with the principals. That would be something we didn't have last year, you know, just scheduling issues and such. I think that would be a goal that would promote that conversation and would support the board.
Sometimes when you're in the meeting more, sometimes we don't.
So we can get that. That could be a goal that we
would. It could be like, better, it's hard to really even think of a goal that would be appropriate, because certainly it could be something about our community council members that understand the responsibilities of, as a community council member. That they're not just sitting on the board to, mm-hmm. out of body, but they really do have these lists of responsibilities. And I know you talk about those during the district meeting, but really maybe the board, including everybody, needs to make sure that we are providing ample opportunities for engagement with those community councils to realize the importance of their role. And I guess it would be through district training. I think it goes back to that, really.
So we'll go back to that.
I don't know. I got to think about it. So, and by the end of the day, let's talk about where we put it in, because we are going to do school board goals, and one of those is, you know, we talked about having the board go to each community council, tell them what our role is as the different plans that they have, because they need to know that we do what we can approve and what we can't approve, and then also explain what our role is. We know that one of the misunderstandings is that the board runs each individual school and who's employed there and this and that. And so we talked about this past year, and I had it down in my notes for us to talk about in our goals, is that we were going to come up with a presentation, and that's one of the things we're going to brainstorm, is what needs to be in that presentation, that each of us are going to go out to at least one school, if not two schools, and do a presentation, and these are the things that are in it. And then when we're there, we also, we get on the agenda, we are part of the agenda, we do a professional type presentation, you know, this is what the school board does, da, 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 da. And then we let them know about, you know, so that we're there. We'd love to be invited to a board, to a school community council meeting, that kind of thing. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later, because truly our involvement with them is stronger than it's ever been,
right?
Because of our, instead of them being the first line of rejection, the district and the board is the first line of rejection.
Whatever
and approval.
We need to have it so that we all give the exact same
presentation. That's why we have a PowerPoint, and we say this, and we say this, and we say this. And so that I think it's good for us, our faces, and mm-hmm. part of that community engagement that USBA wants us to do. So let's go, at the end of the day, let's do some thoughts about, you know, what we talked about. Do we want any further input, that kind of thing? And people can make their own notes, and we can kind of do a roundup of the day. What have we missed? Would that work for everybody? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go into our closed session then, so that we can review. Do we need to take a 5-minute break? We'll go into closed session first. Then we will take a break and resume at 11 o'clock. So I need a motion to go into closed session to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual.
A
second.
Okay, it has been moved by Lynn and seconded by Connie. We need a voice vote. And Gary, yes. Lynn Hoff?
Yes.
Connie Morgan?
Yes.
Christy Cooley?
Yes.
Lisa Hopkins?
Yes.
All right. We will have a 10-minute recess, and then we will go into closed session at 11 o'clock. Okay.
Perfect.
What are we doing now?